Hello, my name's Dave Emery, and this is For the Record program number 342. This is being recorded on January 5th of the year 2002, and I'm going to have to get my years down straight as we begin another year. This is not going to be a program, as advertised on the website, analyzing the substance of the 9/11/2001 attacks. That will come in future broadcasts. I'm going to be continuing with analysis of this event and related events for a long time because the waves continue to spread outward. I will be doing some analysis at least in the next broadcast. Let me refer listeners, though, to a couple of different sources. First of all, as you listen to the programs and if the presentation sounds pedantic or overwhelming, check the Spitfire website at www.spitfirelist.com and look in the For the Record section. There will be a detailed and annotated description of each program listing the sources and each point of information. The Spitfire website at www.spitfirelist.com is equipped with real audio, and listeners can hear the pair of segments going out to the stations that carry this program on the Spitfire website. In addition, sister station WFMU-FM has been compiling the For the Record programs on real audio. More recent broadcasts are streaming at www.wfmu.org/Dave Emery. And I'm happy to announce that as of the beginning of January of 2002, virtually all of the For the Record programs, and my understanding is soon all of the For the Record programs, will be available for download only, those that aren't streaming, at a website that is linked both to the WFMU.org/Dave Emery website and to the www.spitfirelist.com website in the For the Record section. That web address is the obligatory http://archive.wfmu.org/archive/D/X/. So as you listen to the presentation, be aware that for all intents and purposes, all of the For the Record programs are available on the internet, and you can always access those at a library if you are not online yourself. So a big tip of the hat to sister station WFMU-FM. Now, having said that, let's proceed with the focal point of this discussion, which is one of the major links between what I call the Underground Reich and the events of September 11th, and financial powers of center in not only the United States, but elsewhere in the, quote, Western world, unquote, and to the centers of petroleum power in the Middle East, primarily Saudi Arabia. We're going to review some of the substantive elements of Al-Taqwa slash Nada management, and we're going to review some elements presented in For the Record 335 and in For the Record 340. I'm going to proceed briskly so we can get to the new material. Financial Times, Friday, November 9th, 2001, has the following article by Hugh Williamson and Philip Jacklin in Berlin. It's titled, Far Right Has Ties with Islamic Extreme. Pay attention to Ahmed Huber, to Nada Management, and Al-Taqwa, the key names here. One of the people identified by the U.S. government as providing financial support to the Al-Qaeda terrorist network is also a well-known figure in the European far-right political movement. The link is likely to raise new concerns over ties between Islamic and right-wing extremists. Ahmed Huber, H-U-B-E-R, a 74-year-old Swiss businessman and former journalist who converted to Islam in the 1960s, is a board member of Nada Management, a financial services and consultancy company which is part of the International Al-Taqwa Group. The U.S. says this group has long acted as financial advisors to Al-Qaeda. Mr. Huber, who is based in Bern, is known in Switzerland and Germany as an Islamic fundamentalist who attempts to forge links to far-right and neo-Nazi movements. A spokesman for Germany's Office for the Protection of the Constitution, the Internal Intelligence Agency, said yesterday that Mr. Huber, quote, sees himself as a mediator between Islam and right-wing groups, unquote. He also belongs to the revisionist movement, which believes the Holocaust did not take place, the spokesman said. Klaus Beyer, B-E-I-E-R, a spokesman for the NPD, one of Germany's main far-right political parties, said Mr. Huber has often addressed NPD events. Mr. Huber confirmed that he had had contact with associates of Osama bin Laden at an Islamic conference in Beirut. He is quoted in the Swiss media as saying that these people, quote, are very discreet, well-educated, very intelligent people, unquote. In interviews on Wednesday, Mr. Huber denied that NADA management was linked to terrorism, although he admitted the company's sponsors were wealthy Muslims from Malaysia and the Gulf region. And we're going to talk about some of those wealthy sponsors later on in the program. In fact, some of the interesting links of those sponsors will be a major focal point of this broadcast. In For the Record Program 335 and in Program 340, we also dealt with one of the key links between Ahmed Huber and the Nazi past. That is a fellow named Johann von Leers, described at great length in Kevin Coogan's seminal text, Dreamer of the Day, Francis Parker Yaki and the Postwar Fascist International, that I've used many times in the past. There are many, many broadcasts featuring excerpts of the text of the Kevin Coogan book, and also a number of interviews with Kevin Coogan that are available either from Spitfire at P.O. Box 1179, Ben Lomond, California, 95005, email mail, mail at spitfirelist.com, or you can access the material that's on the web at sister station WFMU. Coogan's book is published in softcover by Otano Media, copyright 1999. There's also discussion of von Leers in Martin Lee's 1997 text, The Beast Reawakens, published in hardcover by Little Brown. Now, we're going to access an article from the web about Holocaust denial. This is a piece of French text, and it talks about the link between Johann von Leers, who was the specialist for Joseph Goebbels' propaganda ministry for anti-Semitic propaganda, and Ahmed Huber. That relationship set forth at greater length and in its political and historical context in the aforementioned For the Record 335 and in number 340. This article is by Gilles Camassine, K-A-R-M-A-S-Y-N. It's titled, The Friends of Faurisson, or Les Amis de Faurisson, Ahmed Rami. And the passage reads in French, Depuis son arrivée en Suède, Rami est très lié à l'islamiste pro-nazi suisse Ahmed Huber. Converti à Islam au début des années 1960, or 1960 in French, Ahmed Huber côtoie dans l'Égypte nazérienne d'anciens nazis dont, principalement, l'ancien bras droit de Goebbels pour la propagande antisémite, Johann von Leers, lui aussi converti à Islam sous le nom d'Omar Amin von Leers. Now in English, since his arrival in Sweden, Rami is very closely associated with the pro-Nazi Swiss Islamist Ahmed Huber. Converted to Islam at the beginning of the 1960s, Ahmed Huber was associated in Nasser's Egypt with old Nazis, among whom principally were the old right-hand man for Goebbels for anti-Semitic propaganda, Johann von Leers, himself also converted to Islam under the name Omar Damin von Leers. Now, we're going to move from material that we've covered in the past to the present, and we're going to take a look at some of the interconnecting links between NADA management, part of the Al-Taqwa group, and members of the Saudi elite. And bear in mind that this is a milieu that overlaps not only the German so-called neo-Nazi, NPD, but also the Third Reich past, including the operations that took place in Egypt under the auspices of the Skorzeny-Galen CIA mission in the 1950s. And some of the underground Reich and international fascist international links that obtained in that part of the world from the pre-World War II period all the way on up through the present. The following is from a conservative website. That website is www.freerepublic.com. And in turn, that website has posted an article from the Boston Herald. This article is from the Boston Herald of Thursday, November 8th of 2001. The article is by Jonathan Wells, and it's headlined, Rich Saudis Said to Back Bank Linked to Bin Laden. This deals with Ahmed Huber and some of the wealthy Saudi backers of Al-Taqwa / NADA management. It reads in part, An Islamic bank in the Bahamas linked yesterday to terrorist Osama bin Laden by the U.S. Treasury Department was bankrolled in part by wealthy Saudi Arabian families, according to one of the bank's directors. Ahmed Huber, a director of Al-Taqwa Bank, said in an interview in 1995 that oil-rich Saudi families, quote, are very active, unquote, in funneling money to the bank, which has been identified for years as the main financial institution behind the Muslim Brotherhood and other radical Islamic groups. Yesterday's naming of Al-Taqwa as a terror bank, coupled with Huber's candid admission 6 years ago about the bank's backers, is more evidence that members of the ultra-rich Saudi elite have been quietly financing bin Laden and other terrorists who are now at war with the United States. That revelation is of immediate concern to U.S. leaders who still count on the Saudi monarchy as America's staunchest ally in the Persian Gulf. Huber, who gave the interview to Swiss journalist and author Richard Labeviere, L-A-B-E-V-I-E-R-E, was included on a new list released yesterday of 62 entities and individuals linked to terrorism whose assets have been frozen by executive order of President Bush. In addition to Huber, Al-Taqwa Bank, Al-Taqwa Management Company, Yosef M. Nada & Company, Himat Establishment, and three other officers of the Al-Taqwa Financial Group, Mohammed Mansour, Yosef M. Nada, and Ali G. Himat, were on the list of people and organizations allegedly involved in financing bin Laden and other terrorist groups. Also mentioned was Nada Management Organization, the new name adopted by the Taqwa Group after Swiss authorities probed its ties to terrorism several years ago. In the interview, Huber, a Swiss citizen and radical Islamist, refused to identify Al-Taqwa's financial backers, with one exception. Quote, "As for the money, I cannot give details except for Saudi Arabia, because that will change the bad perception people have of this country," unquote, Huber said, again quoting, "Of course, the Saudi government is under American surveillance, but the kingdom has the advantage of being a feudal state. That leaves the great families total freedom to manage their oil funds as they wish. That's great. And today the Saudis are very active, but the details of their funds that come to the bank are a matter of bank secrecy," unquote, Huber said. By the way, Richard Labeviere's book is called Dollars for Terror. Skipping down. Huber, 74, is a former Swiss journalist who lost his last writing job in 1989 when he forcefully supported the Islamic fatwa calling for the death of Salman Rushdie, author of The Satanic Verses, unquote. Huber, named Albert Friedrich Armand Huber by his Protestant parents, is a self-proclaimed proponent of uniting right-wing Christian nationalist groups in Europe with radical Islamic fundamentalists. According to an account in Labeviere's book, Dollars for Terror, Huber's office is decorated with photographs of Adolf Hitler, Heinrich Himmler, and Turkish Islamic Party leader Necmettin Erbakan, E-R-B-A-K-A-N, and I may be mispronouncing that. That, again, a Boston Herald article from Thursday, November 8th of 2001, authored by Jonathan Wells, posted on the conservative website freerepublic.com. There was an article about Nada Management and Yosef M. Nada, which further detailed some of the wealthy Saudi backers alluded to there by Holocaust denier Johann von Leer's associate and NPD associate Albert or Ahmed Huber. This is from the Wall Street Journal of Thursday, December 27th of the year 2001. This article is by Roger Thurow, T-H-U-R-O-W. It's headlined, "The Scattered Case Against an Alleged Terror Accomplice," subtitled, "U.S. says Yosef Nada aided Al-Qaeda, but it would be very difficult to prove." This article does appear to be spun to a certain extent, but whatever the possible, whatever the actual involvement of Al-Taqwa and Nada Management in terrorist activities per se, there certainly are evidentiary tributaries linking these institutions with institutions that on the one hand are certainly implicated in terrorism or individuals implicated in the terrorist milieu, and beyond that and far more importantly for our purposes and for the purposes of analyzing the September 11th events, these same institutions, whether or not they are directly involved in terrorist activities as alleged, bridge the gap between individuals and institutions, that word that I love to use, the milieu, of terrorism and of September 11th and of Al-Qaeda, with some of the most important corridors of financial and petroleum/industrial power in the world, including those in Saudi Arabia and those in Washington, D.C. and Houston, Texas, including the corridors of power that lead directly to and through the family bush. That's family bush, by the way, not family tree. Skipping down in this article, which is datelined Lugano, Switzerland, again, Wall Street Journal, 12/27/2001. Speaking of Nada management and Youssef Nada, the pieces are widely scattered. The Swiss raid netted documents from a raft of business activities around the globe, as well as Mr. Nada's phone index, which he says has more than 10,000 business contacts. During a simultaneous search of Mr. Nada's house in an Italian enclave within Switzerland, Italian police found a photo of Mr. Nada and Iraqi leader Saddam Hussein. In a third coordinated raid, Liechtenstein authorities discovered a nest of companies stashed behind the nameplate of a local trust company. In the Bahamas, the troubles of now-defunct Bank Altaqua came under renewed scrutiny. Skipping down and noting again some of the Nazi heritage of Saddam Hussein and his pro-Nazi uncle, Karula al-Tufah, who tutored him. Skipping down about Youssef Nada and Altaqua. So far, his bank accounts and those of several companies fingered by the U.S. have been frozen in various countries. U.S. intelligence officials, who provide few details, say much of their evidence comes from intelligence intercepts that they say were damning enough to put Altaqua on the White House target list for financial sanctions. And apparently, enough to place Mr. Nada on an immigration watch list of people suspected of terrorist links. He says that in December of 1999, he was prevented from entering the U.S. when he stopped in Atlanta on the way to the Bahamas. But the Swiss, who also had intelligence reports raising suspicions about the Altaqua network over the years, say those reports aren't necessarily enough to prove a criminal case here. Indeed, Mr. Nada argues that he is a victim of circumstance and that his is a case of guilt by association. Skipping down, I would add, there are one hell of a lot of associations here. One wants to avoid guilt by association, but on the other hand, association by guilt is another situation altogether, and that's one to be that's a possibility to be examined here. Mr. Nada speaks openly of being a member of the Egyptian Muslim Brotherhood since he was 17, and he grows animated when recounting how he was rounded up by Egyptian police and held for 2 years with other Brotherhood members in the mid-1950s. He volunteers that the Brotherhood was banned in Egypt decades ago, but notes that it isn't on the U.S. list of terrorist organizations. He says it has nothing to do with Al-Qaeda. By the way, I would add parenthetically, a number of members of the Egyptian Brotherhood, or Egyptian Muslim Brotherhood, have turned up in the ranks of Al-Qaeda, whether or not the organization itself is continuing. U.S. intelligence officials cite Bank Altaqua's links to Youssef Qaradawi of Qatar, spiritual leader of the Muslim Brotherhood who has publicly praised Palestinian suicide bombings against Israeli civilians. Mr. Nada says he has known Mr. Qaradawi for decades and adds that he heads the bank's Islamic legal panel, which reviews investments to assure they comply with Islamic business practices. But does this mean I'm a terrorist, unquote, Mr. Nada asks. And as we move to inside discussion about Altaqua, skipping down again, more about the associations. Mr. Nada's name has also surfaced in various intelligence reports and media stories in Europe and the Middle East over the years, linking his companies with groups throughout the Muslim world, including Hamas, the militant Palestinian faction. Two of his close business associates have been involved in Islamic centers in Munich and Milan that German and Italian officials have been investigating. And skipping down again, of some of the key Saudi participants in the Nassau, Bahamas Bank Altaqua, bear in mind the Ahmed Huber discussion from the Boston Herald article that we just looked at. At the same time he was opening this office in the late 1980s, He was also founding Bank Altaqua in Nassau, which attracted more than $200 million from shareholders and investors, including, he says, six members of the vast Bin Laden family. The bank, he says, became the repository of all of his businesses and operated as a mudarabaha, which he describes as a kind of Islamic Mutual Fund. So note that six members of the Bin Laden family were investors in Bank Al-Taqwa in Nassau. I would also note, for the record, so to speak, that Lugano, Switzerland is the geographical operating center of the Thyssen-Bornemisza family, one of the principal elements in the remarkable and deadly Bormann Flight Capital Organization that I've spoken about. We'll touch on that later. I would also note, as we saw in For the Record Program 335, Al-Taqwa / Nada is being investigated by the Swiss authorities in connection with the insider trading in various securities that some have suspected was linked to the September 11th attacks. What we're going to do next is to look at a remarkable article from the Swiss publication Weltwoche. That's spelled Weltwoche. That translates World Week. And this is from the Weltwoche publication from the first week of 2002. It had also previously been on the web for the last week, the 51st week of 2001. But it is now on the web as the Weltwoche issue, the first week of the year 2002. The Weltwoche website is www.weltwoche.ch/etc. The full web address for this article will be posted in the description in the For the Record section for the Record 342. Now, this article from Weltwoche is by Johannes von Donany, and I may be mispronouncing that, Donany. By the way, translation credit on this goes to a member of the listening audience. This is titled Terror Trends, Arms Trafficking, and Completely Legal Financial Enterprises, The Connections of Islamic Terrorism Reach into the Power Centers of the West, and it reads as follows. For over two decades, the P.O. Manzo Institute has been one of the leading international think tanks. Here on the Italian Adriatic coast, senior statesmen like Henry Kissinger and Mikhail Gorbachev, strategic experts like Edward Luttwak or futurists like Alvin and Heidi Toffler have debated geopolitical developments. For many years, financier Youssef Mohamed Nada sat in this illustrious circle. The Syrian, who lives on Lake Lugano and holds an Italian passport, is president of the Nada Management Organization, SA. Until February 26th of this year, that's 2001, this firm was listed in the Lugano Trade Registrar under the name of Al-Taqwa. The Jordanian Secret Service uncovered connections of Al-Taqwa's recently liquidated bank in the Bahamas to Osama bin Laden's terror network, Al-Qaeda. By the way, I would add that the disclaimers Mr. Nada disclaims these connections. I would note that six members of the bin Laden family were among the original investors in the Nassau branch of Al-Taqwa. Continuing, Nada's partner Gelab Himat, H-I-M-M-A-T, is included in the network of the Muslim Brotherhood, an organization associated with terrorism. And within this milieu, we find Ahmed Huber, a Swiss-based Holocaust denier who converted to Islam. The membership of Dr. Nada in the UN-associated P.O. Manzo Institute has since been suspended. Incidentally, his spokeswoman believes the, quote, unfortunate affair, unquote, will soon be cleared up. And the next section talks about some of the links between Al-Taqwa, some of the evidentiary tributaries, as I like to call them, running through various global elements allegedly associated with Al-Qaeda. And in turn, as we look at a dizzying connection series of connections between powerful Saudi financial institutions and some of the institutions apparently and allegedly involved in Al-Qaeda and terrorist activities, note among other names the name of Khalid bin Mahfouz. The bin Mahfouz family, like the bin Ladens, are one of the elite families of Saudi Arabia. They are fabulously wealthy, and in a number of For the Record programs, those programs dealing with the Arbusto Energy Bush James R. Bath bin Laden family connection, and there are many of those, including 325, 329, and 330. I noted that James R. Bath, who was involved with the milieu of the BCCI and who was also allegedly working for the CIA, was, in addition to an original investor in Arbusto Energy, the North American business representative for the Bin Laden family and the North American business representative for the Bin Mahfouz family. Khalid Bin Mahfouz is apparently married to one of Osama Bin Laden's sisters. Bin Laden's father, Mohammed, by the way, very close to King Ibn Saud, the founder of Saudi Arabia. Now, note the links between Khalid Bin Mahfouz and the Bin Mahfouz family and many of the institutions apparently or allegedly involved with al-Qaeda. Note on the other end of the balance, so to speak, note the connections of the Bin Mahfouz family to very important centers of economic and financial power in the West, including centers connected to the Bush family that we've spoken about in the past. And bear in mind that Bin Mahfouz was represented in North America by James R. Bath, who also represented the Bin Laden family and who was one of the principal investors in Arbusto Energy. And bear in mind that Osama Bin Laden is married to Khalid Bin Mahfouz's sister. You're going to hear a dizzying series of connections here, and you're also going to hear a number of interesting evidentiary tributaries running in the direction of areas that we've spoken about in the past. Note, as we get ready to conclude this side, and this discussion is going to be continued in the next side, note, first of all, connections running in the direction of the Kosovo Liberation Army, or the UCK. Some of those connections running through Tame Consulting in Malaysia and running through Afghanistan. Note connections to Somalia and alleged links between a Somali banker and Osama bin Laden. Note also links running from an organization called Sakina Security Services to, of all places, an alleged training site for Islamic Mujahideen, this in, at least according to this article, the United States. And one of the areas where they were recruiting Mujahideen to serve in was Chechnya. Note that in For the Record 182 and also in For the Record 329, and later in For the Record 340, I raised the issue of the possibility of operations, and I believe we also spoke about this in number 341 as well. I spoke about the possibility that elements of what I call the Underground Reich, elements of the Wahhabi activist milieu, which would include Osama bin Laden, and elements of the Western petroleum industry might very well have been collaborating in connection with the unrest in Chechnya. When we get into some of the analysis of some of these connections, and I would stress that listeners should not oversimplify the nature of these relationships. This is a very complex event. As we get into some of the analysis and speculation, I would note that one of the major dynamics to observe is the very fact that there are a number of different factions and power elements involved in this milieu, and that their interests overlap in some ways, and yet they also conflict in others. That was also true of World War II, in which, among other families, the Bush family helped to finance the Third Reich and fascism, and yet the United States was also, in the end, involved in fighting fascism on the battlefield. That has taken place again. I would also note that it is, in fact, some of the links between some of the corridors of power and some of these elements, which in the end seems to mandate cover-ups, both political and journalistic cover-ups, and it is those cover-ups that helps to obfuscate some of these realities, and one could say it is those cover-ups that has sort of obligated the very necessity of For the Record. And we're going to continue with that necessity, specifically For the Record 342 in the next side of the broadcast. Remember, Spitfire will carry an annotated description of For the Record 342 in the For the Record section of their website at spitfirelist.com. And sister station WFMU has two websites linked to the Spitfire website, wfmu.org/Dave Emery, with For the Record programs streaming, and a longer website with virtually all of the For the Record programs available for download only on Real Audio. The Spitfire website is also equipped with Real Audio. This concludes Side 1 of For the Record Program 342, Al-Taqwa. We're going to continue with this in the second side of the broadcast. This is being recorded on January 5th of 2002. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.